we've got one set of apologies that I'm aware of. with reference to the final iteration of IPAC this year. And the main points, only one thing I saw had been left out in that intro right at the beginning, but I see it may have been brought back, I don't know, but was the Companies Act, you know, Intellectual Property Act. We need to have brought that back, and I didn't see it brought back. Right, please put it in. Are there any challenges on page one? Yes, Honourable McIntosh.
Madam Chair, I have skimmed through this document. I concur completely. It's the introduction and the conclusions which our committee is about. I mean, basically the rest of it is reporting.
Yeah.
Only two things in the bulk which may have been overlooked is we had a big interaction on energy, electricity and everything. I'm not aware of it in the report. And then there was something I see on Zimbabwe and trade agreements. Now, maybe I haven't joined the committee yet, but I don't recall those discussions. But in the introduction, Madam, I think what we should rather do, because in the second paragraph you talk about the decision in 2009 to re-industrialize the economy, I think it's better to talk about the risk of deindustrialization, because we are industrialized. We may have lowered the level, but I think what is better is the to reinforce or to encourage the industrialization, because it seems to suggest our economy has kind of completely withered in industrialization terms. And again, you use to promote labour-absorbing industrialisation, which is fine. But I just think it's unfortunate if it appears as though we think, as a committee, we've got to start from zero in terms of industrialisation. That's the one concern I have.
Let me address that right now, because I want to move to page two. We speak in the first paragraph about that risk of deindustrialization. And in 2009, and in the years before 2008, but in our term right up to 2010, this risk was emphasized by every party here. And hence the acceleration of the reindustrialization. Because the fact of the matter is, 40 years ago, South Africa got industrialized. Then there was a deindustrialization along the way, and with a focus on mining, etc. And that's the problem, and then financial things. So I do think, but I mean, I would like, if anyone else disagrees, that we didn't try to reindustrialize in 2009, they should say so now. Because in my mind, it's critical that we point out that we were deindustrialized and then we reindustrialized in 2009 going forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you correctly captured it, that South Africa industrialized a long time ago, but in the process, starting with the problem of the economic sanctions which were imposed upon apartheid, the rate of industry went down drastically. That's why as we move towards the new dispensation, the problem of the factories which were closed was the reality. That's why in 2009, this committee had to go to Atlantis to go inside and ensure that those factories which were closing down are being reopened. So when you reopen that, you are still reindustrializing. And then on the issue of Zimbabwe, I think that Honourable McIntosh was not yet here. Yeah, we dealt with the bilateral investment treaty. We dealt with those things before, almost all the opposition members before they were here. Thank you.
I don't think any of the opposition members are here.
No.
Were there at the time. That's why I'm asking for these other reports. Yes. No, we welcome all newcomers. We have asked Mr. Hermans to give them everyone those old reports, you know, because they do need, that may have been overlooked by your own colleagues to handing it over, as it were. I think the point you captured, which I must agree with, somewhere along the line, there is a need to put in the colloquium and the impact of the energy, etc. We need to put that factor, those issues in, and refer to our own report, which will be coming up shortly, because it should have already gone through. It is unfortunate that it's back to front, but I don't know how do others feel. Let me take Honourable Mabasa, then Honourable Khadebe.
Chairperson, I am also struggling to with the paragraph that we are discussing with the decision. The decision in 2009 to reindustrialize.
Yeah.
I tend to think that Honorable McIntosh has a point, because even if we take it from the part of the investment, but I mean, from 1994, you know, going all the way. So I would also propose that we change it to, so that it's not as if it's an instant decision that was made in 2009. The process decision, it's a continuing. So I propose that. And then, after the economy, where it says the economy and reinforced, I don't know if it wouldn't be better if we say the economy and which was further reinforced. When I read it without some addition of some kind, it sounds a bit funny. Thanks.
I think the thing is, you're partly right. The IPAP came out in 2008. Worked on in 2007, came out in 2008, and the reason for IPAP 1 was because we were deindustrialized, and that is in that statement. So either we took the wrong thing to conferences and in our solas then, we'll have to debate that one, I think, in an adjournment. But I can tell you the reason for the first IPAP was because South Africa was deindustrialized. That was the reason. However, we didn't have the first IPAP in the 2009. So I take your point on a decision. There may be a need to smooth it in. Do you see the point we're making now? Because it didn't happen in 2009. Maybe that is the point that ought to happen, that this was recognized when IPAP 1. Do you see what we're saying there? IPAP 1 came out, which was just a couple of years earlier, and was fully reinforced in 2009, etc., and again in every year thereafter, and 2013. So I think that is what we will, which may also help your line of thinking, Honourable McIntosh. So, because there was an IPAP 1, which was not in our term. Now, that's the reality. Honourable McIntosh.
Madam Chair, I don't want to make a meme of it at all. I just think the emphasis in an introduction should be that in a sense, I mean, it comes, you talk accelerate the reindustrialization. If one wanted to meet Honourable Mabasa's point, this decision in 2009 to accelerate industrialization in the economy, then in a sense it's saying, and we understand that we want to make industrialization a major issue, but Madam Chair, I think all that worries me is that there's some people reading this might think, you know, we're like a Malawi, we're having to start an industrialization from a zero base. Actually, we've got a huge amount of industrialization going on, or we want more of it, but there's actually a lot of it.
Going to find the debate in the House very interesting, but let us at least acknowledge one thing. We are rejigging the second paragraph, one line there, that first line, you know, and maybe the point of accelerate industrialization could be a point to move with. All right. I wonder, I'm looking at yourself, Honourable Mabasa. Yes. and not talk about re, but to accelerate industrialization. You've already put the risk of D in earlier. Now you come in here. All right. So there you are. You've got a positive coming up. Yeah, I think we all agree, but let me hear Honorable Khadebe. Right. Are we agreed on that one? Are we also agreed on the point of bringing in a couple of admin prices and that? I want to talk to Honorable Khadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think that this is a budget vote report. We have not yet adopted that report which includes that. So we cannot preempt that report before we have adopted that.
All right. So what we've got here is a budget. And I think the point here, which I shall just move to quickly in line with that, I think is here, where was it? Purpose. Where was that last thing? Where is the point about the budget that seems on the budget itself, the purpose and the accountability? Where's that? The accountability factor in here. It's not on page 3. It should. Yes, it is, I think. If you go to page 3, which links up with what is this report about? And you look at page 3, the first paragraph. Okay.
1.2.
No, the first paragraph. Well, you don't say the first, it's at the top.
Okay.
You should look to the point where it says halfway in the middle. Right, portfolio committees do this. They advise Committee of Appropriations on X and Y and Z, which you remember we did with the BRRR last year, which had an impact on the MTEX. Now, this is the result of, you know, that process. In its oversight of policy implementation into legislation, the committee must ensure that robust, sound, and implementable legislation is developed and can stand constitutional muster. In its oversight, every endeavor is made to ensure that legislation is transformational, robust, implementable, and account and constitutionally sound. Then you come to the part about accountability, and that is paragraph, should be on the same page, is it? Here, it's on the page before, too. It's just above 1.1, it is the last paragraph of the intro, above paragraph 1.1. The important catalytic role industrialization plays in our developmental economy relies upon 18 departments working more closely together to ensure cohesive implementation in an integrated national industrial policy framework. This overview provides the economic platform for the committee's budget oversight. It's the budget oversight we are doing to ensure the accountability of the executive and the accounting authorities within a good governance framework that serves the people. That is actually the mandate for this report, you see.
Very good paragraph. I like catalytic.
Yes, a beautiful one. All right, I'm looking all round. We finished on 1 and 2. Am I right?
Sorry, ma'am.
Look, I do have just one question on when you read that last, not the last one, but the top page 3.
Oh, yes.
When you were reading that, in its oversight of policy implementation, that's the last, second last sentence, the committee must ensure. What I've got in front of me, which is a good sentence, must ensure that robust, sound, and implementable.
That's what I mean.
Okay. I thought somewhere you put in transformational, and I didn't see it. So. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
But then we're repeating ourselves.
Every endeavor should be transformational, certainly not the same as
Madam Chair, but look, it's a structure. But if you're saying it's robust and implementable, legislation is developed, and then you're saying again it's made to ensure that legislation is robust, implementable, and constitutionally sound. But I mean, why don't you put transformation in both or leave it out in both?
We don't have to have robust and implementable. Why don't we rather do this then? You're happy with the previous sentence,
sure.
In its oversight. Mm. Then every endeavour, start swing that around. Every endeavour is made. Leave oversight, because you've already said we're on oversight.
Mm.
Every endeavour is made to ensure that legislation is transformational.
And the
constitutional. So, can we leave it there? Mm. Right. Now, you see how important it was for you to be here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could I we're still on page 1 and 2, the introduction. Could I just make one or two comments? First of all, it was interesting to me, we say, due to the lack of competitiveness, that's our one thing, there's a decline in trade. Right. Now, we know why the East and China have become the factories of the world, is because they're highly competitive. And then we go on and say, this is compelled by the government to implement interventionist policies. Now, our competitiveness is affected, basically, and I'm just marking points where COSATU or trade unions have a big impact on our trade and industry. That's in on our competitiveness. And then the decline in the clothing industry, not entirely, but is partly affected by our very high wages, which are again trade union related. If we're going to have labor-absorbing industrialization, then again we've got to address the question of COSATU. On our energy area, Medupi is being held up by COSATU. Now, Madam Chair, I don't think I don't think trade and industry can be blind to the impact of trade unions, any militant ones, which burn and kill in the process and go on wildcat strikes and so on. Now, clearly, I know COSATU has a big lobby in this committee, a very big lobby. So what my concern is that if we're going to, in an introduction, we need to at least say one of our challenges in South Africa, and I think it's particularly after the Africa section on the World Economic Forum, Madam Chair, that the Nigerian businessman, Mr. Dangote, the richest man in Africa, said that South Africa's laws and policies would have to be reviewed in order to attract more investment and to encourage all Africans to participate in South Africa's economy. He says, now anyone can do business with anyone in Nigeria. So we're getting another message out of Africa. And, if that is the Nigerian government's policy, I'm not saying Mr. Dangote represents the committee, you're going to find capital, and we agreed, madam, capital is a model. I mean, a guy who's got money to invest, he doesn't really mind. So it just worries me that we as a committee seem to put the telescope to our blind eye when we have to recognize that one of the challenges we've got is the cost and the difficulties around the labor situation.
I did give you a lot of leeway there.
You were very kind, Madam.
Yes, thank you. And if you put back my calls now. Honorable Khadebe, Honorable Mackin, Honorable Kobasa.
So, President, we're dealing with a budget vote report, not a debate. Yeah. So, really, I'll appeal from the side of the chair that you restrain this issue of the running commentaries about critical issues. Because, as we speak to the chair, the country in Africa which draws the largest foreign direct investment remains South Africa. That one is a fact. Yeah. Number two, is the fact that in countries where the labor is not protected, there's disaster. Go to Bangladesh, Dhaka. More than 1,000 workers have died because the unions are weak.
put up with it because they are weak. No. So, but we don't need that debate here. We need it in the chamber. Here we are looking at the budget. We are looking at the budget. It's a fact that our constitution of the country recognizes the right to form unions. We cannot come and challenge that here. So, Chair, can we be focused on the report, please? Because you said some members will be leaving. What I'm afraid of, we are not going to find any members outside here apart from. Or what an appeal for Chairperson. Let's just go straight line by line and then adopt this report as quickly as possible.
We did allow Honourable McIntosh to make those inputs because he's also contributed to a lot of other things, although we may not have adopted them. And I point that out, we didn't adopt them, but at least they were on the table there. Honourable Babasa.
Yeah, Chair, I'm in full agreement with the whip. I do want to point out, though, that it could be dangerous to deal with individual social partners in this report. And even in the debate itself. Because remember, COSATU is not the only federation that exists. Someone will come up and say solidarity is at all with affirmative action, which is a fact. They've been running into people for us. They have come to us and say to hell with BBB, and all of us were here. Someone is going to come up and say, big business is sitting with the 530 million rand and they are not reinvesting. And I don't think that it is correct. And ourselves being part of government, to criticize our social partners who sit with that network in this report and in the public platform.
On the Waili.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to pose a simple question in relation to a point that amongst other challenges in 2009 were declining clothing and textile sector, which is associated with job losses. But the issue that I find out there is that the only aspect that has been identified is said to be due to the lack of competitiveness. I think in my own understanding, it might be a wrong understanding, that the textile industry, but also in all other sectors, started to face a number of challenges. During the time of rampant globalization, and especially at the time when South Africa was reintegrated into the global arena. If you still remember during the debates of the GIA policy, the relaxation of exchange control and other. I think I find it that there may be a particular gap because some of the challenges of that particular sector started to be felt immediately after the reintegration of South Africa to the rest of the global economy.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Honorable
You do believe, you are saying you agree with the idea of the global economic crisis impacting, but the reason why it had such an impact partly is because we were an isolationist economy to start with. And where possibly one didn't need to be competitive, because the reality now is we've had to bring in all these competitive laws to broaden, open it up so that others can enter that economy and overcome some of the monopolization that has occurred in our country due to precisely these isolationist policies and other policies of apartheid. But do you agree we keep it there, or do you think we should take it out at that point due to the lack of competitiveness? It says, can we keep it there because it's partly due? Can we keep in the competitiveness in?
I think we can keep it because it is a fact that there's a serious problem when it comes to the balance of forces. Because South Africa is not the same like other countries, which were opportunities more than our own energy.
All right. We're going to keep it there. I hope everyone is listening, and that we now know that this is the oversight on the budget itself. You see, so we narrow it down, our comments. I did see your hand, Honourable McIntosh, but I'm not going back to page one.
No,
and that's where I am now, page two. Before 1.1, I'm just going to go from the top here. It says SEZ program is one, then these programs. If I see your hand shoot up, I'll take it. Yes.
Madam Chair, I'm concerned that last sentence, therefore the transformation from a consumption-driven to a production-driven economy. My concern is that consumption and production are not an either-or, but a both-and. Let's take, for example, top tier that the TV things that are being manufactured now, top boxes, I think of top TV, I'll just say another thing we're talking about, the pornography programs on top TV, top boxes, are we on the same page?
Well, I don't know, because
I was at a top TV this morning session with Minister Pandor, and they were talking about that, so I got mixed up between top boxes and top TV. But Madam Chair, top boxes is an industrialization program, as I understand it, for us to get people to manufacture top boxes. But the point is those top boxes are directly linked to consumers, because people want to watch television, they want to enjoy relaxing, buying TVs, buying also not that. So to me, consumption isn't a devil. It's actually can be a very positive contribution to our economy and to our manufacturing and industrial.
Listen, you are quite right. As long as it is domestically produced.
No, sure. So all I'm suggesting.
Maybe what we can do, and then I'll do my own explanation in the debate. Therefore. Transformation to a productive-driven economy is imperative to reduce the current account deficit. But the reality is we do not want consumption based on imports.
Oh, but that's a different thing, Madam Chair.
So maybe we either say that or we go for the short. Honourable Kadebe.
If you can look at the various reports from Treasury, that is the Department of Finance, they are very clear that our growth in the previous half, even during the time between 1999 and 2000, our growth was consumption driven. So what did that mean? It meant that the consumers had to take a lot of debt so that they can satisfy their consumption needs instead of taking debt in order to put it for productive purposes or for stealing themselves. I think the National Treasury Department was very clear on that for that regard. So I don't think we can change anything on that.
Well, you see, I think the
qualification
in the report is here. If we go the route with keeping it, it's on the word driven. You're not saying no to consumption. You're saying, what drives your economy? And we are saying it should be productive driven, which I think you're also saying, you know, Honorable McIntosh. So maybe we ought to, I'll have to emphasize that word driven. But that's what we mean. I think we all mean that. Thank you. Right. The next paragraph starts off with deepening regional integration.
You
saw page 2. The next paragraph. Then the department seeks to broaden the participation. And then the important catalytic, which we've read. The constitutional mandate is a requirement. It's there, it's there, it stays there, other than some grammar, which may need to be cleaned up, which we've done. 1.2.
Is it going to get proofread for grammar later? Because I see you.
What grammar do you see here? Just shout, because it's done late at night.
The third line after decline, there should be an in or an of.
Where are you?
So in this paragraph, third line of this paragraph, after the word decline, it should be the decline in or of South African exports, whichever you prefer.
No. Which paragraph is he referring to? Oh, 1.2. It's led to the decline of. Right. All right. It would be useful just on those critical things to put a hand up and just mention. I don't even need a hand, just speak. Purpose. The purpose, again, is just exactly what happens. You know, this is why we do it. The only thing that you had which was perhaps a little different is in the process, again, page 4, where you had the when we met, etc., and we kept it very small. The Department of Trade and Industry. That gives us the information on which we focused, and also our own oversight during the year in particular, but previous years. The achievements. Broadening. Page 6. Please put your hand up if I don't recognize you speak. 6, page 6. This is the same as you've had before. I hope you recognize that. 7. It's not a new one. 8. Budget there, details. 10. Some of you may notice here on the budget you've got a minus on administration there, I think the change, you know, etc., from 690, 720, 748, and the nominal change, etc., was minus. That's one thing that did come up, and also the industrial ones, which in all amount to 75%, page 10. And I hope when people understand broad participation, they understand it includes not only BBBEE, but regional integration, broadening our participation in Africa. Page 11. Page 12. The incentives, you received a huge package of them a while back. And I think one was reminded that CEDA doesn't fund these things. It's CEFA, which is in, EDD, that provides the finance, but CEDA provides all of the support. Edmund. And therefore, you can have all that money in the world, but if you're not managing it properly, it's not going to be effective. That's the point about CEDA. Page 14.
Yes.
time ago before you joined us. No, the only thing is that it's unfortunate when it seems as if it's here, but it isn't. It went there in 2000 and end of 2009 or 2010. Right, 15. For those of you interested in CIPCO, it was hailed internationally as the best piece of legislation of its time. Recently by both IMF and what is that big stock ratings agency, the Goldman Sachs or something?
Standard and Poor,
but then linked to the rating agencies I now see from the IMF's report are all linked to these women stockbrokers. Scoundrels, a lot of them. Page 17. Well, that's where, I even said that France said it, but I agree with France, 18.
I thought it
was only politicians. 19. Now, the budget allocation, please don't forget this is the budget. Please mention one or two figures in the debate. Just to remind you guys, 75% of their budget went on to industrialization. Page 20. Metrology. Page 21. The allocation. Page 22. Our nemesis in RCS. Budget allocation again. Why do we put those? You know what's interesting? You remember they didn't get their whole budget from DTI. Do some of you remember that? They got a percentage they had to make up or find themselves. Sad. Key issues raised by deliberations further on here. SANUS, the National Accreditation Body. And conclusion. Now that was where we are coming. I, having considered the inputs from the DTI, input sounds so technical. All inputs, outputs, outcomes, it's a financial word. I think what you meant is the information they gave us, which was broader than the budget. You know, figures. Yes, Honourable McIntosh.
Madam Chair, I agree with you. I don't think that's a good word to use, inputs. I think one should look at something like presentations or the reports, yeah. I mean, everything between the introduction and here is the reporting, which has been good, I think. Now we can make our inputs. But I just think it seeks to accelerate the industrialization. I think, and you use accelerate.
So I think this. broadening of economic participation of the historically disadvantaged and the marginalized regions of the industrial economy to redress the inequalities of the past, however high administered prices, etc., etc. So there is a reference to that, you know, in passing. Beneficiation, we've tackled, of minerals and agriculture.
On the iPad too, what I think one should do is, etc., the margarines of the industrial economy addressing them, but however, high administered prices, high labor costs, and a slowdown in the infrastructure build program could potentially pose
right.
a threat.
You know what I'm going to do, because I can see we'll get hung on that for a bit. 11.4, we'll come back. We are coming back to it.
Okay.
11.4. Beneficiation of minerals, agricultural commodities, and other goods presents great opportunity for industrialization. And that has the potential to deepen and extend upstream and downstream value chains and stem the loss of other developmental linkages and broadening. And stem the loss of other linkages. If they develop mental, you wouldn't be needing a loss there. So don't put developmental there. And stem the loss of other linkages and broader manufacturing capacity, capabilities, etc. South Africa is informed by the need to strengthen regional economic integration to achieve more balanced...
It's true. Sometimes the language is very flowery. Can we just say South Africa needs to strengthen regional integration? I don't know how a country is informed by the need to strengthen...
Where is that? Where?
The first line. You just said South Africa needs to strengthen regional integration. Simple.
Well, that must have been myself who put that in. Because I'm always informed by facts. But if others don't want to be,
so you just said the chairperson is informed by the need.
The boss.
Correct, Chair. On beneficiation on 11.4, I wonder if we shouldn't construct a sentence which also encompasses recycling. Because for various meetings we have observed that the recycling is done outside South Africa. So I don't know whether we have captured it somewhere. If we haven't, I would propose we construct the sentence somewhere.
It's on scrap metal. Yeah. All right. But yeah, because that was picked up last night. That's why I remember. Thank you, comrade. But what's the name? Honourable Hill Lewis. What was it? How were you reading that sentence now? Are you also Hill Lewis?
Yeah.
Honourable Hill Lewis. Can you give it to me, please?
South Africa needs to strengthen. Just like that.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much, Honourable Hill Lewis. Honourable 11.6. You think because you're getting me? You know, really, it's confused me. 11.6. In pursuit of new markets, South Africa will maintain its market links with traditional markets while building new partnerships with the South and strengthening the expanding footprint, not its. You see, new partnerships with the South and strengthening and expanding its imprint, footprint. Yes.
I wonder if it wouldn't be safer if after with the South, in one way or the other, encompass the rest of the world. You know, we could be missing another part. So I don't know how we can encompass, but I would propose we do that.
Hear what you say, because you see you've got maintained its traditional trading partners. That is supposed to have covered AGOA and European Union. Yeah, but carry on.
But in addition to that, it's not only the South that is new to us in relative terms. We may find that there is another part which is also new. I know there. So I will suggest if we can just change it slightly to cover that.
Going to say we'll put in the BRICS and things like that, which automatically captures Russia and India, you know, Russia in particular, which was often seen as the North, part of the North. India was not seen as the North per se, you see. So I do think possibly we could put South Africa will maintain its links with traditional trading partners, such as the European Union and the United States. We just put that there. And then, but in pursuit of new markets. And then you bring that and bring in the BRICS. And what else is there that we have to bring in on these things? The BRICS and BRICS plus. The free trade agreement you've got here already. Anything else? Where are the researchers and economists? Doing all your background work for you. What else? I know it's not IPSA, that's more political. What other agreements have we got?
Madam Chair, if we talk about it, there's Mercosur, which is an agreement we have with South America.
We do.
But do we want to go into all that? I mean,
yes.
I take very much Honourable Barbosa's point there. And obviously, in a sense, the South, apart from Russia, covers BRICS.
So we'll just put BRICS in there, yes. To bring in Russia, thanks. And then we'll move to 11.7. Technical infrastructure, the regulatory regime requires alignment to enhance the implementation of that. Okay, those are the SQAMs, etc., which we have covered now. The establishment, and this is a. But I don't know, I wanted this board in a recommendation, not just in the conclusion, and we can do that. We can. Yes, there's nothing, and I've said this repeatedly, I don't want them sitting at conclusions. So that issue of the board, you to say, take that whole thing out, the establishment of a single board responsible not only for the technical infrastructure, but all of them. What's the other? There's three technical. Who are the others? Let's just see. You had them here, didn't you? There were one, two, three, four technicals. All right, consumer was separate. Okay, so all the technical infrastructure under one board instead of four boards. I think that'll keep them in line. Is that a great recommendation? Then you go to 8. We are simply not spending.
Madam. 8's fine, but I can hear Dr. Wilmot James speaking in the meeting. It's in the first person, but it's good ideas. It's in the first person and so on, and needs to be restructured. It's fine, but it's not in the same style as the rest of the report.
Right. It was the overhead who had a rejigging of it. Is that right? Where are we now? Where we got, we are simply not spending. So instead of saying we, you then put it through to the D. Where did you say? The DTI is not spending enough on export promotion and trade. Is that it? More exports means...
It should be export and trade promotion.
Yeah. I think we... Never mind. The point is when people are tired, Andre. Well, they were still tired this morning. All right. And so then means exports mean higher growth to lead to more job creation, etc. Is not spending enough on export promotion, export and trade promotion. Do we agree? This is from the DA. It needs an agreement from the committee. Right? There's no disagreement. Fine. More exports means, more growth, etc. Get the expansion of value-added production, albeit more important, should not be at the expense of expanding exports. Now, this is unfortunately not entirely something I agree with, but Honourable McIntosh, if you're going to comment, I need it very succinct.
Madam Chair, do we want to double or make, it's quite a radical statement, to double the budget on export relations? But if we feel that, fine. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. But it is in there. It says, I would recommend, which again is, it shouldn't be I.
So we're taking all of these, you know, I's off.
Okay.
And we. All right. Now, can we just get to the substance? Honourable Khadevi.
I'm not sure whether we're not spending enough on the issue of trade promotion and exports. Because let's just look at the itinerary of the Deputy Minister Tabete. Just look at the itinerary alone. And then also the participation in the various pavilions in all over the world. The issue is that there's a good work which the DCI is doing around that. Hence, if you can look at the fact that the foreign direct investment to Africa remains, South Africa mainly, that's why it's mostly attracted. So I think that let us put that, just like that, check.
Now, I think the issue was more governed or informed. I hope Honourable Hill Lewis is listening, because I think you were here at the time. It was more informed by the missions than the trade. That is what Honourable James raised in the committee. Not promote, we are doing a lot on export promotion, but the issue was on the missions and the work that was done by ADIRCO, who, rather than ourselves, we hadn't got enough people to send round. That was the issue. So that's not really what we mean. So I'll allow you to speak.
It's just that if you look at the budget, that is contained under the program called Export and Trade Promotion, which is why we refer to it here, because that's what it's called in the budget, the line item. So, you know, the exact detail, you can say, through trade missions, yeah, that's fine. But in the department's budget, it's called Export and Trade Promotion.
Yeah, I take your point on that pie chart, which we've got to recognize, and we are going to, that... you know, we do need to consider, which you have said, I think have said before, Honourable Khadevi, we do need to consider expanding our presence, our permanent presence, not just the in and out, which is the promotion, but our permanent presence in our missions overseas. That's really what the issue is. And in there, therefore, this may require a review of the programmatic allocation. Isn't that what you say? Right. Okay. Yes, Honourable Mabasa.
When we say permanent presence, we are saying the missions are there, but all we mean is to deploy presence in. So I think if we can, unless I'm missing something, so I think if we can. Thank you.
need a presence in those people from Southwest China so that there can be a permanent a trade attachee from South Africa around that area to mobilize the resources and trade around those areas. So you go to India, the same. You go to Canada, also there's that spread.
Along these lines, I believe it's over here then. The DTI is not spending enough. It's not that it's not spending, it's not allocating enough in the first place, you know. enough on export and trade promotion. Allocating, okay? Full stop. No, just so that and trade promotion, because it's getting okay through trade missions. The committee was of the view that the DTI needed to establish a permanent presence in foreign missions in strategic locations. Because we're not, you see, it could be someone of a ministerial level or an attaché, you know what I mean, and there are differences. So we don't want to start dictating it must always be a minister. It could be an attaché. The main thing is, do they have the information? Would this pass muster?
Yeah.
Okay. There you are. So look, you obviously delete the rest, and you will be, I hope you all are geared up to go and get photo status, because we've got to pass this. If I'm looking at the time, so 11.9, are we on 11.9? Who's this from? Okay, I am, all right, the NCC and NRCS are inadequately funded given their mandate. Furthermore, the establishment of new entities, such as the BBBEE Commission and the Cooperatives, raises a concern. The establishment, the impending, it hasn't happened, has it? Has it happened? No. Right, and that raises the concern that these will be underfunded. Yes.
This was my one. I like Margaret's version. The language is better and more consistent, but I'd just like to propose an amendment. Make it the NCC, NRCS, and the CIPC. We need to add the CIPC into that, or I would like to. CIPC.
Yeah.
Of course, it's self-funded, that's right, so that's why we can put it in. Are inadequately funded given their mandate. Furthermore, the impending establishment of new entities raises also be underfunded. There was one other amendment that I wanted to make.
I wanted to get on with that.
Yeah, I'll come back to you now.
First
proposal
you've got here,
Honorable Bebe. We are in agreement that the NCC is underfunded. I think that one, even from the input we have that there. Yeah, exactly. I think that all that plan that we are fine, but I have a problem to prepare those contracts that cannot get from that they'll be underfunded. That one, because we are dealing with a budget here. We don't know what allocation is going to be made for those. So I think that the issue of the BE Commission, the cooperative development, they must be out because of the empty department.
Agree on the BBBEE because we has not yet been passed, okay, through the House. But secondly, it's due to be established next year, not even in this particular budget year. You see, that would be the technical impediment there. But with respect then to the Cooperative Development Agency, it is funded in this budget. So now you have to, we've overcome the technicality, now it's a political issue. so not a technicality, you see. So take the BEE one on. The NCC and NRCC are inadequately funded given their mandate. But you didn't agree with the NRCS anyway, or did you? You agreed with the NCC being underfunded. Did you agree with the NRCS? No. Because they do raise sufficient funds themselves through compulsory. It is a compulsory. You go and you pay your license. No one gives you a bit of bucksheet there to fill the rest of it, do they? You know, it's your license to drive your car. This one is to make sure you sell your product. So you must factor that into production. So I don't, look, I don't entirely agree, but the whip will give us a position from the ANC.
program, just say the allocation to the capital R regulation program, because that's what it's called in the budget.
Are we sure now there's not one on industrialization, is there?
Sure, you said we were going to go back to 11.3.
IPAP 2 is also linked to the broadening of economic participation of the historically disadvantaged and the marginalized regions of the industrial economy to redress the inequalities of the past. However, high administered prices, and is there a slowdown in the infrastructure build program?
Yes.
Yeah, 11.3 could potentially pose a threat to the sustainability. Why? Yes, let me take Honorable McIntosh, then I'll take yourself, Honorable Hill Lewis.
Well, let Hill Lewis go first, if he wishes to. But my concern is we're dealing with what are the threats to the sustainability of the manufacturing sector. I think we had a very good time that high administered prices is definitely a factor, particularly energy, which we addressed. But I think another threat to the sustainability is high labour costs. And we're not making any other statement than that.
See where I'm coming to. to, and then I do want Honourable Hadebe to come in as well, but after Honourable Mabase, is one tiny point. When it comes to labour costs, you see there are two factors in wages. The one factor is the internationally acknowledged unacceptable gap that exists in our country in particular, if not only. So there's that. And yes, the point is we can't go along with wildcat strikes, etc. Yes, that also disrupts the economy. And you want to relate to high labor costs. It depends. If labor is productive, then the cost related to that is not high. You see, I'm just asking us, before we just respond, and yourself in particular, Honorable McIntosh, to weigh that one up and see how we put it if we want to put it here. Honorable Mabasa?
I would propose that we note that different parties could have a different interpretation to this point, so that we then go into the debate, so that, you know, it would mean that's where Mr. Honorable McIntosh should argue from the point of view of his party that labor costs are high, but with us, of course, not, because as you properly said, inequalities, we are number two, if not number one in the world. And one of the elements is because labor is not adequately paid. And we also have casualization of labor, you know, we can go on and on.
We cannot have that element of high labor cost then. Because as where we are standing now, go straight to ShopRite. Look at the CEO of ShopRite, what is earning. Look at the packer of ShopRite, what she or he is earning. Really, really, you can see that there's a distortion around that. So I think that the issue of high labor cost check is out. In particular, we want to take into consideration that when we were visited by the Minister of Germany, from the Embassy of Germany, he was very clear that during the industrialization process of Germany itself, the unions demanded a high wage. They had to comply with that because during that time the people were very poor. They're from poor wealth, they were very poor. They had to comply with that. But as they advanced further down the line, they found that when they got competition from the West, the labor and business had to sit down and they made an accord out of the way. So here in South Africa, we have not yet reached that stage of saying that they want to make that settlement between labor and business. They are still adversarial. So we cannot come here as the Pro Committee and take a side. We cannot take a side. So the issue of high labor costs must go out. But what as you said, Comrade Chair, is that the issue of the wildcat strikes have an impact. That one have an impact. We have to acknowledge that. That one have an impact because you can speak about the issue of Medupe as well as McIntosh is saying. It's correct. We cannot agree with the situation whereby the people are going to move outside the bargaining in the process and make wildcat strikes. Those wildcat are the ones which are, we know that as we're standing, where we're standing today, because of the worker strike that they will lost close to 30 billion times. So that one is the fact. But remove high labor costs there and deal with the wildcat strike. And then number two, Chair, immediately after that one, there is no slowdown in the infrastructure build program. I think in this government, look, there has never been such a high spend on infrastructure. If you are speaking about how much? More than $1 trillion. More than $1 trillion.
Let us hear what he but I just want to close this part off. Honourable McIntosh, I don't think you'd get broad agreement on high labor costs in general, per se, but rather there's an agreement that yes, wildcat strikes are unacceptable, has a very adverse effect on the whole economy and the people, etc. So we accept that one there, and we'd like to move to Honourable Hill Lewis, your last word.
Madam Chair, no, I take the point. My thinking here wasn't so much domestic. I was just remembering those presentations from the motor industry, and the guy put up what it costs to produce a motor car in Thailand. And they can deliver a motor car into Durban, pay the import duty, and still sell it cheap. And that was what I'm concerned about. And they also showed how much, and this is where the wildcat strikes come in, how much days they lose to labour disturbances, if you want to call them that, or labour action in those countries. It's virtually nothing. Whereas we have a significant amount of that. And that's what I mean. And to me, we're talking about our manufacturing, the sustainability of the manufacturing sector. And it is one of the threats. I think we should just acknowledge that. But I was thinking more in terms of high labour costs in an international sense.
Chair, it would be wonderful if we actually spent the 1 trillion rand in the infrastructure that we have been saying we're going to spend for the last 3 years. The fact is, the first tender in that project was only issued in September last year. The very first tender, more than 3 years after that project was announced, and that was the 50 billion rand Prasa train tender. But if one looks at what's happening in Medupi, if one looks at the failure to really get the President's Infrastructure Coordinating Council to start delivering projects on the ground, I think no one can deny the fact that while the intentions are good, we have not spent enough money, cost enough on infrastructure. So whether we call it a slowdown or slow progress in the infrastructure build program or insufficient progress or however you want to phrase it, I think this is a real... A real challenge for the manufacturing industry. I mean, we heard presentations about how the delays at Durban Port, the delays in the upgrade of Durban Port are really costing jobs. This is a very real issue. We can't deny the fact that slow progress in infrastructure is a threat. Then, sorry, the other thing, Chair, just, again, the language after that, after the word program, where you see could potentially pose a threat. I think, Chair, we must just say it is a threat. I mean, well, everything that comes before that, it doesn't could potentially pose a threat. It just is a threat. We must just have clear, concise language. I prefer to just say what we mean.
But you see, there are other ways of looking at the word slowdown or whatever. There are other ways, and I just want to point that out before members comment. We can talk of an interruption of the infrastructure, which will constitute a threat to potential positive impact. And it indicates there that the significant lessons can be learned from Eskom, where the wild, you know, some of these wildcat strikes at Medupi are occurring, and Transnet build, where they've also suffered from that. So what I see here from the ANC members is that they're not objecting and saying we take out wildcats. They're actually pointing to the impact of wildcat strikes on a loss of production, which, if you utilize that word in its broadest sense, does indicate that infrastructure can be interrupted. But so I think probably the word slow down without any, explanation, just boom out there, has a problem for us. So I think people are trying to understand what we all agree on. So
I'm happy with the interruptions.
Yeah. So there already, Honourable Kwabasa.
Yeah, I think that we must be cautious about referring to a small dimension. A number of projects.
Yes.
That are already in progress in terms of the 16 seats that have been run up. And the economic development is actually that's the one. I think that we need to put it in a more positive way to say that there is need to accelerate infrastructure needs in order to also promote
yeah, I think we're all on board in some way, and maybe members, I will just allow Honourable Khadebi to have the last word, and then we will, if there requires a tweak or two, a telephone will do. Yes, Honourable Khadebi.
Chair, what I was going to say that perhaps what we should have considered is the issue of cutting down the lead times of the VARA project. Cut down the lead times, not that's it. Yeah, exactly. Cut down the lead times of the project. And because really, Chair, in my constituency, Ingula pump station, the storage system of Eskom, it is running properly on time. The pipe from Devon to Joburg, it was on time. And then the issue of the infrastructure of the roads, more than 200 meters on time. But others, they
general. They get the tenders. So what needs to happen, the money is there, it's earmarked, it's ring-fenced, it's there. What we need to do is to ensure that we expedite the development of tenders and specs. Well, not specs, what is it, interested, what is the thing called? I'm sure the municipality dealt with them a lot. Expressing your interest or something, but there's a special term for it. Those two, if they can be expedited, it will cut the lead time down, which is currently amounting to 3 years in some cases. That is the reality. You see, Honourable Neil Lewis, while you're there on your yogurt, yeah. Now, and then we'll just put in the interruption rather than slow down. It is being interrupted by these extended lead times, by the wildcat strikes. Do you follow? Do you agree? And I think in your debate, Honourable McIntosh, you'll be able to flesh out what you're quite right. It's quite legitimate. You put that point in. But I wanted to say one thing only that everyone should consider. All of those gentlemen who gave a presentation, the United States and Germany, both agreed that the labor conditions in those countries where you saw these low prices bore no comparison to our legislated conditions and constitution. And one thing we're not aiming for is another revolution, as it were. We are aiming to ensure our workers that there is some charter, if you like, between the employers, the employees, the workers, the capitalists, manufacturers, the whole cahoots, and let's get a social charter. But we'll talk in our debates and be expanding these issues. Members, the rest of it will come to you electronically, but right now you'll get 4 pages each. Right now. You've got to pass this. We're not having the poor speaker's office being undated with people who felt that they passed the wrong report.